Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What have I become?
All right, Chris Jericho, Tampa Bay resident, Chris Jericho, Tom Brady could be his neighbor now. It's a lot of great people live down in Tampa Bay. Derek Jeter's place. I've seen it up close multiple times. That thing is unbelievable. I've never seen someone who has three-car garage on one side, then you have the driveway, and a three-car garage on the other side. It's the largest home in all of Tampa Bay. It's nearly 32,000 square feet. They call it St. Jetersburg because it's so big. It's in Tampa, but they call it St. Jetersburg, like, you know, because it's just monstrous. But I'm sure Tom Brady, Giselle, and the kids will love it down there. I didn't buy the it's close to New York thing. I didn't buy that. I mean, yeah, it's a quick 2-hour plane ride to New York, but I didn't buy that whole thing. He wanted to be happy. He got tired of Bill Belichick's dictatorship, the authoritarian style. I mean, even Tom Coughlin softened up. That's the reason the Giants beat the Patriots. But prior to that Super Bowl 42, they said it was Tom Coughlin, you know, with the team getting in and out that week in Arizona and just sort of, you know, Belichick, you know, and listen, if anybody has a chance in the next 2 years to be more successful than the other guy, it will be Brady over Belichick. Because this team is going to, they will have a losing record. They will miss the playoffs this year for the first time since 2008. But in a non-Tom Brady season, well, in a Tom Brady healthy season, it'll be the first time since 2002 when they missed it and they were 9-7. So 18 years ago, it's been a long time, but they are not making the playoffs with that schedule. No way. No chance in hell. At Seattle, at Kansas City, at Houston, at the Rams, at the Chargers. No. Hosting Baltimore, the Raiders, Arizona, who now has DeAndre Hopkins, and they're rejuvenated now? No. Sorry. Oh, I wish the Buccaneers came in this year. Oh, I wish it was this year. Oh, I wish they could. It's got to wait till 2021. Oh, I wish it was this season. Oh, it'd be so good. Oh, I would venture to say I think more people would cheer at Gillette Stadium for Tom Brady and the Buccaneers to beat Bill Belichick and the Patriots. I'm not kidding you. I think more people would cheer for Brady and the Bucs. Seriously. Just to prove a point that this is what happens when you let go of the GOAT. Look what Chicago did with Michael Jordan. They haven't even come close to an NBA Finals. I mean, they went to the Eastern Conference Finals once, 1 year, and they got absolutely destroyed by LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. Oh, they got destroyed. Should have been swept. To the phones, Ben Volen will be coming up later on as well. So don't want to miss that. Sorja's up next in Mansfield. What's up, Sorja?
Mark, I got some good news for you.
Yeah. Tell me off speaker, number one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
You sound like you're on speaker.
How about now?
No. Sorja, get your phone right and then call back. Radio 101. Let's go to Jeff's up next. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, good morning, Mark. Great show as always.
Why can't we just do it like, oh, can you hear me now? No, I can't. No, I can't. Get your phone right and then, like, you know, come on, man. Come on. You know better. Go ahead, Jeff.
So, Mark, you don't have to worry about cutting your hair like that.
I won't. No, I have a beautiful head of hair. I have a Mel Kiper hair when I want to grow it out in like a pompadour. It will never get shaved. My hair will not be shaved. It will not be shaved.
So last time we talked a couple nights ago, the over-under win total for the Pats was it's 9.5 now.
Oh, so way under.
I'm going to take the under, of course. They're not even going to make the playoffs. They'll be lucky if they're .500 this year. So, and they don't have a defense anymore. So I don't know what these guys are thinking. Pats are done. They're done.
They are done. This year they are done. This year is a losing season. They are done.
And like you brought up, Brady got them in a position to win that Miami game. They were up by 4 points, and the defense couldn't stop Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't want to hear any more about Belichick being the defensive guru. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, let me ask you this, Jeff. Was Belichick the defensive guru during the Atlanta game when the Patriots were down 28-3?
No.
Okay. Just asking. I didn't know. Like I wanted to make sure that, you know, now I will give, you know, Dante Hightower on the blitz, which, you know, knocked the ball. You know, Matt Ryan fumbled. That's good. But you were down 28-3. Okay. Now Brady sucked too. And I'll admit in that game, Brady threw a pick six to Robert Alford. So I'm not going to let Brady off the hook. But then he brought you back from the depths of hell to win another Super Bowl ring.
Exactly, Mark. And the thing about that, he never gave up, and he kept the offense on the field, tied the defense out. He was perfect, and no other quarterback could have engineered that. None.
Yeah, who here? I mean, listen, and I make fun of Mark Wahlberg not for you know, his new movie Spencer Confidential, whatever the hell it's called, but Mark Wahlberg leaving at halftime. But who thought this team was halftime? I do blame Mark Wahlberg because they weren't down 28-3. They went down 28-3 in the third quarter. I would have even left then because no one thought they were coming back at that juncture.
Well, no other quarterback would do that.
Nobody.
Two more points, if you'll indulge me, Mark. Talking about Belichick, the defensive guru. Where was he in the Eagles Patriots Super Bowl? The defensive guru that couldn't stop Nick Foles,
yeah,
the Eagles.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
Brady threw for 500-plus yards.
Three touchdowns and no picks. Yeah, and where was the defensive guru who decided to sit Malcolm Butler, who started 98% defensive snaps? How'd that one work out? Do you think Parcells would ever done that? Oh, no. It's a rhetorical question. There's no way Parcells would have sold his soul to win another Super Bowl.
He did hold the Rams to 3 points 2 years ago.
Yeah, but...
And they were the number one offense.
But what about
in the
Nick Foles?
I mean, everybody has their bad days.
Oh.
But he had the number one offense to 3 points 2 years ago.
But you could. Hey, you want to bench Malcolm Butler for a series? I'm okay with that. That's fine. Let him learn a lesson. You bench for a series in the Super Bowl. But you got torched. You got destroyed by Corey Clement and Nelson Aguilar, who just went to the Raiders and just got released by the Eagles. Okay? Like, you cost him a Super Bowl then. I mean, can we get that soundbite, Nick, of Brady saying, what kind of defense are we in where Malcolm Butler's not on the field? I love that quote. That is my favorite quote, basically a total F you to Belichick. Like, come on, genius. You know? Like, when you make an appointment at the Apple store, you have an appointment with an Apple genius. Where was Bill Genius that day, huh? Well, what kind of defense are we in where Malcolm Butler's not on the field? Really? I'd like to know. Cost you a Super Bowl then. You'd have 7 right now. I mean, hey, what about Super Bowl 42, the first one against the Giants? Brady walked off the field with a lead. He threw a touchdown pass to Randy Moss. And the Giants marched down the field. And you couldn't stop David Tyree because you don't want to give enough money to Ty Law. So Rodney Harrison couldn't separate the ball from David Tyree's helmet. How about that one, Bill? I mean, my God, it is it's just unbelievable. The genius. Yeah. Keith's up next in Chicago. What's up, Keith?
Hey, how you doing, fellas? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Listen, man. I mean, you're going a little bit too far. You sound like a jilted lover. I mean, come on. He's gone. Let it go. Brady's gone. He was the greatest. He's the best they ever had. Let it go. He's gone. He didn't want to stay. Let it go. He's gone. You sound like someone that broke your heart, man. You fell in love and you had a couple of babies. And now you're disappointed because she's gone. Let it go. Let it go. They'll survive. They're going to survive. What if he to retire? What are you going to say then?
If he retired, then you would. I think Patriot fans would be okay with that because then it would be like, well, no, but he's going to another team. Keith is the only player in NFL history.
Okay, so who cares? So what? He's gone. He's not a Patriot anymore. Where's your pride at, man? Are you a Patriots fan? So you're only a fan when they're winning?
No, Keith.
When they got Brady, Brady's gone.
Keith, it shouldn't have happened this way. It's not like when Michael Jordan. When Michael Jordan with the Bulls.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It's a little different than Michael Jordan and the Bulls. Michael Jordan chose to leave. It's gone. Let it go. Brady's gone. The Patriots gonna they'll survive. They're still in the same division. Brady was the reason why they didn't win last year? He's gone. Let it go. Let it go.
No, it's too soon to let it go.
You'll find someone else to soothe your heart. Let it go.
Well, who's it going to? You think Jared Stidham's the answer?
I don't know. We don't know. Let's see. We thought Drew Bledsoe was the answer, and Tom Brady came along. Let it go. You got to let it go. Calm down. Let it go.
Can't do it. All right. There's only so many times I can hear you say let it go. Rob is up in Orlando. What's up, Rob?
Well, you know, the gentleman ahead of me just kind of took my thunder. I don't know if you consider yourself a true Patriots fan, but and I know you hate hearing this, having coached football a long time, 30 years, you know, okay, he moved on. Am I disappointed? Without a doubt. I wish him well. I hope he stays healthy. I hope Tampa Bay wins the Super Bowl. I was a big fan of the Tampa 2, sat in many meetings with Tony Dungy and Marty Kiffin. And, you know, I'm from Boston. I've just moved down to Orlando. But the thing is we got to see what the Patriots are going to do. And, you know, you had mentioned earlier about not trusting, being able to trust Belichick and his brass. Well, we've never been in a position where we've had to rebuild except for when he first came in. The guy that really got this started and where we are today is a guy named Drew Bledsoe. And fortunately enough, Brady came along and took us to new heights. And let's be happy for that. Let's not be jilted about all this. He left. Let's call it what it is. Two guys have egos. One wants to see if he can win without the other. And the other guy wants to see if he can win without the other. That's what it comes down to. And we just happen to be in the middle. And that's the issue with all of this. I mean, let's realize what it is. The two egos get in the way, and one ego said, you know what? I have the position where I can walk away.
Rob, just FYI, Drew Bledsoe, yeah, he might have got this started with Parcells, but he was nowhere near Brady.
I'm not comparing the two.
Okay.
I'm not. That's not my point. And you know, everybody calls him the greatest of all time. He's the winningest quarterback of all time. You can argue whether he's the greatest or not. That's too subjective of a question. And I'm not even going to get into that. I'm not going to give you my opinion on it. But he's the winningest quarterback of all time. So let's leave it at that. Let's be happy that we had what we had for 20 years and wish him well. I'm a Tampa Bay fan, have been a long time. I'm going to be excited about seeing some games down here.
Well, you should be. You should be. Sorge is back on a much better phone. All right, Sorge, go ahead.
All right, can you hear me guys?
Oh, yes, perfectly. Yes.
All right, Mark, I got some good news for you because this time next year, you're going to be feeling your head, and you got to have a full head of hair. I cannot agree with you more. First, quick side note, got to check out 30 for 30, broke. Got to check that out. But second, I mean.
Nah, I know the guy who did that, Billy Corbin. I didn't really, it was okay. It wasn't great. It wasn't one of his better works. It wasn't Cocaine Cowboys or The U or, you know, it was okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't that. There's so many better 30 for 30s than that.
Right. Yeah, I thought the subject matter was interesting. All right, here we go. So, you know, one of the ones you forgot to mention with the defense is I remember Nick Chubb, that game against Cleveland, I mean, he was just running amok. I mean, the thing I kind of keep going back to is that even if you sign, let's say we live in a parallel universe where we sign Brady, this team has so many more needs that, you know, I don't think it's discussed enough. You know, like you said, we lost our two great linebackers. Our run defense was so terrible last year. So, and one of the other things that you have to remember is, of course, you mentioned strength of schedule, but Buffalo Bills are coming. I hate to say it.
Oh, yeah.
But they are going to be pretty good last year. I mean, we obviously didn't fare too well against them last year. I mean, I can't remember if we won, but, you know, we had some tough games, and it's only going to get worse. So I really, like I said this on Monday at night, and I'll just bring it up again today. You know, the people who are dealing with the coronavirus had a better plan in place than Bill Belichick did with this whole situation. I mean, we have a lot of picks in this draft, but going by Bill Belichick's draft resume in the last couple years, do you really trust Bill Belichick to do well this year? I mean, I'll just end it with this. I mean, we've always said in Bill we trust, but I don't know if that can really be said anymore.
I agree. I totally agree. You want to play the in Bill we trust thing? Well, did you entrust Bill for taking Derek Rivers over Chris Godwin? Did you trust him there, one pick before Chris Godwin? I don't know. Somebody wasn't doing their scouting. Derek Rivers, how's he doing? Huh? How'd that work out? John's up next in Charlestown. What's up, John?
Mark, it's a beautiful, sunny Sunday, and I'm a very, very strong Brady proponent. And I just want to say this. As sad as I am that the Buccaneers are not playing the Pats up here at home, think about this for just one second.
They do in 2021 here in Gillette.
How great is that at age 45 and he beats them?
Oh, well, I know that would be great. He'll be 44 then, but that will still be great. I wish it was this year, John. Oh, do I wish it was this year.
I do too. You know, I live in Florida also. I was actually raised in Florida. And, you know, I'm just really excited for Tom Brady and his new path in life.
Yeah. Oh, I am as well. And now people come at me and say, well, how can you blame Bill Belichick for the David Tyree play? How about, was it Hobbs? He put all alone against Plaxico Burress?
It was Ellis Hobbs.
Ellis yep. Hobbs, yeah. Yeah, how'd that defense work out?
Manning should have been sacked and
yeah,
all that stuff.
I know. But he wasn't. But he got away.
I mean, that's on the players. That's not on Bill.
No, but why would you put Ellis Hobbs one-on-one against a 6'8"?
Well, you're talking about Ellis Hobbs and Plaxico Burress now. You're talking about David Tyree earlier.
No, but I'm talking about Ellis Hobbs versus Burress. Why would you put him versus – why would you have not – and I heard the reason why was that it was the defense that Junior Seau called. Junior Seau called that defense. And apparently Rodney Harrison didn't want to overrule Junior. Junior was the one who called that for Ellis Hobbs to be – but Ellis Hobbs against a 6'8"? 6'7", Plaxico Burress.
If there's one guy you double in the red zone, it's Burress.
Thank you. That's all. So, you know, all I know is this. You had the last chance you'll ever have to get a bye in the playoffs. Because you won't. Don't worry about trying to get a bye now that there's only one team who's going to get a bye. You couldn't stop Ryan effing Fitzpatrick. 80 yards, 13 plays, 6 first downs. He dissected that defense. For a chance at a bye and to host a playoff game, you couldn't stop Ryan Fitzpatrick. Think about that. The boogeyman defense that was 8-0, and I told you that record was fake 8-0, and I ended up being right. Lamar Jackson defrauded you. Deshaun Watson defrauded you. Patrick Mahomes defrauded you. And then Ryan Fitzpatrick and Ryan Tannehill completely exposed you for being frauds. Now it's time for trending. Ben Volen next.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
All right, back here on WEEI. I am Mark James, Mark with a C, James. We'll get back to your phone calls in a minute. Joining us right now on the Harbor One Hotline, They call him Trollin' Volin from the Boston Globe, Ben Volin. Ben, first and foremost, why did you think Brady was going to stay? You got that one wrong. I'm just surprised. Of all people, you thought he would stay.
You're right. I was wrong. My prediction was I thought he and Kraft would get together at the last minute and would make it happen. That Brady at the last minute wouldn't want to go to a place like Tampa Bay, wouldn't want to leave New England, would realize how difficult it's going to be. I guess what I underestimated is how, A, Brady didn't really want to come back, and the Patriots really didn't want him to come back. I think this is more from the team side. I think if the team had shown a willingness to want to extend itself, I do think Brady would probably be back. I mean, Robert Kraft even told us the day that Tom Brady left that Kraft invited Brady over to his house the night before, and when Brady accepted, Kraft thought he was going to seal the deal. Kraft thought that it was going to be to do a deal, but Brady was not feeling any sort of love from the Patriots. I think if there was an offer, it was much less than what he was hoping for, certainly in numbers and also in years.
And I'm glad you brought that up, Ben, and I just want to interject just there. So this PR spin, which has been, I mean, on, like, you talk about spin cycle. This thing is still going. So let me ask you this then, because there were these reports that came out from somebody who is a writer and is basically an extension of the Patriots PR department, who said that Tom Brady was offered a 2-year, $53 million deal that did not include incentives. Do you believe that that was a false report?
Well, I do have a hard time believing that.
Me too. Thank you.
Well, look, yeah, I do think if the Patriots offered a realistic contract to Brady, which included 2 years, that he would have taken it. So, you know, look, everyone's got a source. Everyone's got a report. What I have, and I from someone I trust, someone who's given me good, the person who told me that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were the team to watch out for, which I put in writing back in February. He told me 1 year, $23 million. That's what I heard was the Patriots number for Brady, and I could understand A, not being pleased with the 23. Drew Brees and Phillip Rivers both signed for 25, and so did Tom Brady. That's the magic number.
Yep.
But also the 1 year commitment. I think Brady's really looking for 2 years, and the Patriots just were not willing to extend themselves that far. And look, I actually wrote this today, Mark. I initially was under the camp like, yes, the Patriots could have brought Brady back, and they chose not to, and they could have done what they did for Drew Brees, and they could have. They definitely could have. But I crunched the numbers a million different ways, and I wrote this today in the Globe. And the more I did the math and played with the numbers, it became obvious. It was not going to work out. The numbers just did not add up. Even if they were able to fit Brady in this year for a relatively low cap number, which they could have, the Piper was going to come calling next year with like a $36 million cap hit. Or they could have played with the numbers further and just kept pushing the number down the road, you know, in 22 or whatever. But then they would have been looking at like a $25 million dead cap hit. So, yes, they could have done this, and the Saints did it, and they're going to be in a situation where they're continually restructuring Breeze and pushing numbers down the road. And at some point, they're going to have to take a big cap hit. I understand why the Patriots didn't want to do that for a 43-year-old Tom Brady. It was too much. It's been an unbelievable run. It's over now. It's time to move on.
Well, Ben Volin joining us right now. Ben, that's fine, but how much of this, because Mike Giardi tweeted this out, and he said that he spoke to Robert Kraft the other day, and, you know, Mike Giardi is a reputable reporter, and he said, quote, "When I spoke to Robert Kraft, he made this analogy about Tom Brady's departure. Think about loving your wife, and for whatever reason, there's something, her father or mother, that makes life impossible for you, and you have to move on, but you don't want to." That, to me, that's throwing Bill under the bus. Bill was the meddling mother-in-law.
Yeah, that completely throws Belichick under the bus. And that's, I mean, since the playoff loss in Tennessee, Robert Kraft gave an interview to Peter King that night after the game, and it came out, I think, on you know, the following Monday. Kraft, since then, it's been this whole media tour of don't blame me. You know, it's been blame Tom Brady. He's the one who wants to be the free agent. And now it's blame Bill Belichick.
Yep.
He's the one who made it impossible here. So that's, Kraft has just made sure to position himself, hey, don't blame me. I'm the one who wants him here. But if he really wanted him here, he could have.
There you go.
Yep. He could have done it. So, no, Shaughnessy wrote this column, and I agree 100,000%. There's nothing wrong with a decision to move on from Brady. Robert Kraft just should own it. Just,
yes.
Just own up to it, and, you know, it's fine. And I think people – I haven't sensed a ton of anger this week, maybe just because there's more
– Oh, you haven't been on Sports Talk Radio then. There's a lot of anger.
I've been on Twitter, which is as much of a sewage hole as Sports Talk Radio.
Yeah.
But,
oh, yeah, it's worse there.
Yeah, but, you know, I just – if he would just own the decision, I think people would be okay with it.
Ben Volen here. Yeah, calling Stephen A. Smith during a live show on a commercial break, not a good look. Not a good look. I would have called, if I was Robert at that juncture, you know who I would have called? I would have called Stacey James and say, hey, I'm thinking about calling Stephen A. Smith. And I guarantee you, Stacey James has said, Robert, do not do that. And you know, I just know Stacey would not have, like, would have advised him to not do that.
It's true, but I don't know who. You know, he could advise him, but I don't know if Robert Kraft is listening. Look, I mean, you could tell by the number of interviews Kraft gave. I mean, he went, you know, outlet by outlet, calling everyone in town and nationally too, and you know, talking about what was going on, and that's good. I mean, I'm glad he got out in front, but clearly it was to minimize the damage. And again, just own it. Like, again, I crunched the numbers for my article today, and I totally get it. I think it's very reasonable that the Patriots moved on from Tom Brady, and I think a lot of fans understand it too. He's 43 years old. This is unprecedented territory, and just the numbers didn't add up, and Belichick's ready to move on, and it's time to get going with the rebuild and the next phase in the Patriots. And again, if Robert Kraft would just own it, I think everyone would be okay with it.
I don't see Robert Kraft owning that anytime soon. I will give Bill Belichick credit on this, Ben. Belichick's not calling any media members. Belichick's falling on his own sword and saying, hey, it was time. And, like, that's the one thing, as much as I disagree with it, and I thought that, you know, if you had drafted better. Do you know, I just looked today, Ben, and I know I'm cherry picking, but do you know in the 2017 draft, the New England Patriots in the third round, they took Derek Rivers one pick before the Tampa Bay Buccaneers took Chris Godwin. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you had taken Deebo Samuel over N'Keal Harry, if you had drafted better and, quote, done your job, then maybe Tom Brady could have stayed and you would have had weapons last year. If your defense had done their job, Ben Volen, and stopped Ryan Fitzpatrick from going 80 yards on a four-minute drive, 13 plays, six first downs, you could have had a bye. So, those are things that, like, but I will give Bill credit on one thing. He's going to fall on this sword. He's not going to shy away. And I can't wait till Shaughnessy shows up and you, because you guys are the only ones who really will ask Bill the tough questions there in Foxborough and go at it with him. I think Bill has more of a humorous approach. You're, like I said, you are his Newman. He's Seinfeld and you are like, hello, Volen. But Shaughnessy, oh, there's no love lot. Like, Shaughnessy will go there, roll up the sleeves, and let's go. So I'm looking forward to that. But now the question is this. Like, we don't know Jared. And I've watched Jared Stidham in college more than anybody in this market has ever watched Jared Stidham. I know what Jared Stidham brings to the table. There was some good beating Alabama. There was some bad losing to Georgia and then UCF in the Peach Bowl. His last year, a horrible stretch of games, losing to Mississippi State and Tennessee. They are huge favorites over Tennessee, losing that game. But here's my thing, Ben. How do you sell your fan base now on Jared Stidham for this year? That's the big question.
I don't know if they necessarily need to do that. I still think even... Look, I'm expecting them to bring Brian Hoyer back, and even then, this would be a year to carry three quarterbacks. I would draft a kid as well.
Yeah, me too.
First, you know, with trades, if you can.
Oh, no second round. That's Mohamed Sanu. He gone. So no second round pick right now. So.
No, but you can always trade next year's picks. You can.
Yeah.
I mean, look, there are players on the team that are right now that are going to get traded. I mean, look, I'm not like reporting anything, but you know, just reading the tea leaves and knowing what's going on in Foxborough. I mean, Dante Hightower is probably not feeling too good. Marcus Cannon, Julian Edelman might get traded. I mean, I wrote today, I'm keeping an eye on Stephon Gilmore because I think he's very underpaid right now, especially considering he just won NFL Defensive Player of the Year. And he's someone who I think could fetch a lot. So, yeah, they don't have a second-round pick right now, but I guarantee you Bill Belichick is not going into that draft with the 23rd and the 87th pick and then nothing else in between. They're going to figure it out.
Mm.
So going back to quarterback, you know, look, at this point, I agree. They did a terrible job of preparing for this day, and they had it all lined up with Jimmy Garoppolo, and they haven't developed. You know, we'll see about Jared Stidham. I think they do like what he brought to the table last year, but he threw four passes. There's no way they can actually be confident in him. But you bring him in, you bring Hoyer in as like the mentor and basically the coach.
Sure.
You bring another kid in, throw him out there, let him compete. To me, like bringing in Andy Dalton, I wrote this the other day too. I'm way more down on bringing in like Dalton or Cam Newton or anyone. I mean, those guys aren't.
Yeah, no.
So they're not the future of the team. So why bring them in? Why not see what Stidham can do this year? I think we're looking at a 3-year rebuild. I think 2022 is when they're trying to set themselves up for long-term sustained success. And it's going to be a little bumpy getting there the next couple of years. But they're going to see what they've got. I think they want to transition to a more up-to-date style of offense, you know, where the more mobile and athletic quarterback. You know, you mentioned the poor drafting and if they had gotten Deebo Samuel instead of N'Keal Harry. Do you have any confidence that if you had switched the roles, I'm very confident that if you put Deebo Samuel on the Patriots and N'Keal Harry on the Niners, Harry would have been great and Samuel would have been had a difficult rookie year. That's what the nature of the Patriots
I guess Tom doesn't like to work with the, but I think Samuel would have caught more. And here's the thing. He would have been available. And that was my biggest issue with N'Keal Harry. He was out for the first 8 or 9 games. He wasn't even on the field. So that to me was big.
But who knows how that would have worked out for Deebo Samuel as well. I mean, I'm not blaming, it's way too early to call N'Keal Harry a bust. And you want to blame Belichick for the Sony Michel draft pick? I'm okay with that. I don't think he's been an electric running back at all. And the drafts the last few years have not borne any real fruit. We'll see about Isaiah Wynn. I still think he could be a pretty good player. But, they weren't really in drafting mode. They had a very veteran-laden team. Obviously, we've seen with Brady that he didn't work that great with rookies. So the draft wasn't as important to them. I think the next couple of years you're going to see it's now time to find the next Brady's, Matthew Slater's, Dante Hightower's, you know, Devin McCourty's, the real leaders that are going to take this team into the next decade. And I truly believe that Belichick, this is what invigorates him, building the team, starting over. You know, it's not going to be from scratch, but trying to build this team again into a consistent winner. And that, I think, energizes him, and that's what's really going to be the final cherry on top of his legacy is if he can build the Patriots once again into a consistent winner after Brady. So I think that's what we're starting right now, and I think Belichick's really looking forward to doing this the right way and building up the Patriots again.
All right, Ben, final thing before I let you go. With their schedule this year, and again, I have to mention, on the road, at Kansas City, at Houston, at the Chargers, at Seahawks, at Rams, then you get Baltimore, San Francisco, Arizona, and the Raiders and Denver at home. Do you see this team having a winning record or losing record?
Yeah, I think 8-8, 9-7 might be.
I think you're being way too kind. I think 6-10. Seriously,
I still think Belichick and McDaniels can roll out of bed and win 6 or 7 games on their own. And I think there will still be talent. And Belichick does not tank. I think he abhors the notion of playing for draft positioning. And they're still going to have a good offensive line. They're still going to have a good football team. It's just also going to be about finding the pieces, and there is going to be more of a developmental aspect, I would think. But they're still going to have a pretty good football team. And again, Belichick wants everyone to think they're tanking, wants you to think they're going to go 5-11 and they stink without Brady, and they're just going to roll out of bed. And like, no one during the regular season is better on a week-to-week game plan than Bill Belichick. And I know all those teams look great on paper, but I'm still not counting out the Patriots as far as being a playoff, maybe competitive team, but I don't think they'll be competing for a Super Bowl this year. That's for sure.
All right, Ben Volen. Thanks, Ben. Always appreciate it. Follow him on Twitter.
Good luck, Mark.
Follow him on Twitter. We'll get back to your phone calls. There is an article that came out. Remember the guy who broke a couple years ago about the dissension in the ranks in Foxborough, Seth Wickersham? I met Seth the night of the Tuck Rule game in the Patriots press box. He just wrote an article on ESPN.com. It's on the main thing, the story behind the split of Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the Patriots. We'll get to that in your calls next.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
All right, so I mentioned on ESPN.com right now, the article, the story behind the split of Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the Patriots by Seth Wickersham, who I got to meet in the press box, or I might have been in the locker room, at the old Foxborough Stadium the night of the Tuck Rule game. He will join me coming up in 15 minutes. It's a fascinating article. You should really read it. And we're going to get into everything. Don't forget, Seth Wickersham was also the one who wrote the article a couple years ago about the internal strife between Brady and Belichick. So Seth Wickersham coming up in about 13 minutes. Okay? Tim is up now in Lowell. What's up, Tim?
Hey, good morning, Mark. First of all, when you're on the air by yourself, it's a much better show. That's just my opinion as a listener.
Well, I appreciate that, Tim.
Better camaraderie, all right, on the Tom Brady, we all know it's a huge mistake, at least most people do. But I'm going to tell you one thing I read in the financial pages, I think it was the Herald, this is before the start of last season. Tom Brady, by himself, has generated over $1 billion, that's with a B, billion dollars in revenue to the Patriot organization since he put that uniform on, not counting last season. And so it's one more reason why it's just a disgrace they shipped them out of town. Can you imagine an employee working for a company, we'll say for 40 years, in the last couple of years he can no longer carry his weight like he used to? Can you imagine a company just shipping that person out the door?
Never.
Well, that's what they just did to Tom Brady. I don't care if they had to keep him around as a backup for these next 2 years. He could have been a good influence on Stidham. He should still be here, and I'm looking forward to Seth Wickersham because from the get-go, he had this story nailed from the get-go, and he was the only one. I'm looking forward to listening to your interview, Mark.
All right, Tim, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm too. Seth is awesome. He did a great job, and he did a great job a couple years ago about breaking down the Brady-Belichick fractured relationship then when Alex Guerrero had been stripped of the access to the sidelines, to the team facility, to everything. So, and it's come to fruition now. It's come to fruition. So, let's go to Michael and Lynn. What's up, Michael?
What's going on, man?
Hey, Michael.
Good afternoon. About to be anyway. The fact that the coach just shipped Brady out of town, like the caller before said, he doesn't even have a plan. Like, he just, you know what I mean? Like, he's going to go with Stidham. And nobody, and he's not doing anything in free agency. You know, his drafting has been, like you said, been an F. So, what reason do we have to believe in him? We got no reason to believe in him.
I think there's reason to believe in Belichick, but my thing is that he doesn't have a plan right now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, okay, so it's Jarrett Stidham. So, what are you going to do? Are you going to surround him with the same crap that you surrounded Brady with last year?
He believed that Tom was going to come back. And I actually believe that he was shocked when Brady called him and said, I'm deuces, because he thought he had him. You know what I mean? And, you know, he took a steaming dump on his forehead. Now he has no plan, and he's going to be 5-11. The greatest coach ever. All 20 years, he never had to rebuild. Now, all of a sudden, he has to rebuild? Why?
Well, they got to rebuild basically because, you know, Tom Brady's gone, but he didn't do a good enough job drafting. I think that's the biggest, when it comes down to all this, the talent evaluation, like Michael, even this week, like
he didn't do nothing.
But Eric Ebron, you need a tight end. Eric Ebron went to Pittsburgh for $12 million for 2 years. Jason McCourt.
Right up his alley. That would be right up his alley for $6 million for him. He led the league in touchdowns a couple years ago, year ago, whatever.
He did. He did 2 years ago. Right, which is nothing. You have nothing at the tight end position. Nothing. And you let him go to Pittsburgh to give another weapon for Ben Roethlisberger. Another weapon. I don't get it. All right, quick timeout. Your calls, and then Seth Wickersham coming up as well. Don't go anywhere.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.